guy that can take one verse and talk for 2 hours. Sometimes it's nice to not have to flip back and forth, you know what I mean? I mean, I like that. I like being able to see everything in the Bible, but it's nice having a guy that can just take one subject, man, and really drive it home. That's really nice. I like a part about, you know, how we're not so important. I like that one. We love Jesus because he first loved us. Amen. It wasn't about us, what we did. It was about what he did. Amen. So, I tell you, we are in 1 Peter, and we've been going verse by verse in 1 Peter. Doctrinal footing of 1 Peter will be during the tribulation time period, the last days. You'll find that in verse verse 20 of chapter 1. You'll see that he's speaking to the strangers, okay? And these are saved individuals. All right, so you're going to see there's going to be a lot of application to the church age, but you have to remember that the doctrinal footing is for the tribulation. So, but I have found reading this that there's you're not going to find very much that's going to challenge salvation by grace through faith. But you need to keep in mind that these folks did not have eternal security in the sense that we do. Okay, like we do. And you'll see undertones like that. You'll see things that will give you hints to that, okay? And these folks were suffering terribly for the Lord, okay? And God chose Peter, a man that had the biggest problem with his attitude, one of the apostles that had the biggest problem with his attitude. God chose him to teach these folks about how their attitude ought to be in the face of persecution. And we can learn a lot from that, okay? So last week we left off in verse 7, and we learned that how the trial of our faith gives us eternal rewards that can never be taken away. Just the trial of your faith, going through that trial, and that we should rejoice in that. And Peter's going to keep with this theme because the theme of the book is suffering. That's the theme of 1 and 2 Peter, is suffering and how your attitude ought to be when you're suffering. So Peter's going to keep going with this line, okay, or with this theme about how your attitude ought to be, okay? Excuse me. So in verse 8, he says, let's pray before we begin. Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for your book. I pray now, Lord, that you would open our minds and open our hearts, that we would receive your words as they're written. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So in verse 8, he says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Okay, so these folks are in the tribulation, and Peter is telling them how they are blessed because they believe in Jesus Christ, even though they've never seen him. Okay, now if you're familiar with the tribulation, it appears that there's going to be a mid-tribulation appearance of the Lord. So maybe that's why Peter is saying, hey, you guys are blessed, and just hang in there a little bit long, a little bit more, and you're going to see him. Okay, we don't need that promise to see him because we know that we are not going to suffer the wrath to come. Amen? We don't need that kind of comforting. We will see him the minute we leave this body. Amen? And we could see him before that happens, amen. If we hang in there long enough, if the Lord comes back early, or if the Lord comes back in our lifetime, we'll be able to see him. But what Peter's saying is here is that we're blessed without seeing the Lord, amen. All right. So, if you want a blessing, then just believe God. If you want a blessing, believe God, all right? Don't you get sick of hearing people all the time, oh, I just wish the Lord would show me, or I just wish the Lord would give me a sign, or I just wish the Lord would do something, you know? Just give me something, Lord. You know what I mean? Well, if you want a blessing, don't need those things, all right? Just take it upon yourself to believe what God said, amen? that the Lord is there, that he's in control, and that he knows exactly what's going on. So if you want a blessing, just believe what God says. I find myself doing it. You know? Well, God, just, you know, show me how real you are. You know, is this the right decision? You know, just show me something. You know what I mean? Show me a sign. All right? So if you want a blessing, just believe the word of God. If you would, look in John 20. It's a natural thing to want to see in order to believe. That's a natural thing, but we have to resist that because there is a blessing for believing without seeing. And we can start in verse 19. John 20 and verse 19. Now the scenario is this. The Lord has just risen, okay? He's appeared unto Mary, and now he's going to appear unto the apostles, okay? And the apostles are in hiding. The disciples are in hiding, okay, and it's a Sunday, and so they're assembling for their worship service, but they have to do it in secret because there's a lot of heat because of the Lord being crucified. And it says in verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, the disciples are in hiding, having a worship service. The doors are closed. The drapes on the windows are probably pulled shut. The doors are probably bolted closed. It's just them in there. And then all of a sudden, the Lord just appears in the middle of them. I mean, could you imagine this scenario? Could you imagine this scenario? I mean, why did the Lord say, peace be unto you? Amen? Think about that. Think about that. They're in a circle worshiping, and then all of a sudden, just poof, there's Jesus. Okay? Now look at verse 20. It says, And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So apparently, until they saw his piercings, they were not very happy. Okay, so he must have looked different after he got glorified than before when he got crucified, because he had to show them the piercings in his body. So I wonder how different he looked, because he had to look different than what he was on the cross, because you couldn't even recognize him as a man on the cross, amen? I mean, if they would have saw a big bloody figure, they would have known who it was right away, you know. But he had to show them that, and then they felt, then they were okay, and then like, oh, okay. But I mean, could you imagine? He had to say, peace be unto you, okay, because they were so upset when he showed up in there, okay. So it had to be a pretty strange happening, and I like what Sam said. He said, if you think this Bible is boring, you're not reading it. Because, I mean, think about this situation. You know, we tend to downplay everything. But could you imagine all the people in there at that time when the Lord showed up? They were probably all like, what is that? You know what I mean? Just somebody just appeared in the midst of you. If somebody just went poof right here, we'd all be freaking out, wouldn't we? That would be really strange, wouldn't it? You know, and sometimes I wonder, I wonder if there was any black disciples. You know, I know in the new Son of God video, they show a few black disciples that ran around with Jesus. But I just wonder if there was any black disciples there. Because black people are different than white people. You know, very different, okay? I lived with black people in the military for 8 years. I mean, my roommates were black. I had one black roommate for a couple of years. And black folks are very different than white folks, amen? I could just see, could you imagine? See, when things get creepy, black folks don't stick around. They don't. They run, amen? Seriously, they run, you know? White people are stupid enough to stand around. We are. When something weird happens, we're like, oh. You know what I mean? But a black guy, no way. when something creepy happens, man, boom, he's gone. You got to look, where did he go? You know what I mean? The cops show up, he's gone. I get arrested. The white guy gets arrested. Or the black guy gets chased, amen? So I just thought it would be, I just wonder if there was any black disciples there that took off when the Lord showed up. You know, and the Lord was like, oh, hey, peace be unto you. You know what I mean? And maybe he had to calm them down, you know? I mean, really, you don't see black people looking for Bigfoot. Only white people go looking for Bigfoot, amen? You know, they run, okay? I mean, think about this. I mean, even with the police, okay? You know, an innocent black guy is out on the corner minding his own business, exercising his right to be in the free market and provide a business for, and provide food for his family, amen? And a cop rolls around the corner. What does a black guy do? He's gone, amen? You've seen it on cops. You've seen it on cops. They, as soon as they see a cop, they are gone. And they don't even have to be doing anything wrong. And the cop runs them and chases them down and jumps on them. And he's, you know, and he's being real nice. You know, he's like. And then he cuffs them and then he gets up and he's like, now, why'd you run from me? And the black guy would be like, I saw you and I got scared. You know what I mean? And I don't blame him for running nowadays. Seriously, I don't blame black people from running from the cops nowadays. I don't blame white people from running from the cops nowadays. There's not a day that goes by that I don't see somebody getting beat up or killed by cops nowadays. They just had a guy in L.A. He lost his mind a little bit in a department store, pulled some scissors on a little girl or something like that, and then ran and got in a chase with the cops. And it ended up in Long Beach by a set of stairs going down to the beach. And there was a bunch of cops with machine guns. And he got out of his car and ran towards the beach. And the cops said that they felt threatened and they opened fire and shot him in the back and killed him as he was running away. And because they felt threatened. You know what I mean? And they let him lay there on the ground and bleed to death and die. Then they go over and handcuff him. No ambulance is there, no nothing. You know, so I don't blame people from running nowadays. So this was a very strange situation, okay? White people and black people are different, so I wonder if there was any black disciples there that might have tried to take off or jump out a window or jump out the back door or whatever, and the Lord had to calm them down. That's why he said, peace be unto you, okay? I mean, they're so different. I mean, mass shootings, you don't see black people getting killed in mass shootings. Only the white people are dumb enough to stick around when a guy pulls a gun and starts shooting. Seriously. Columbine. One black kid got killed in Columbine, and he was with two white friends. You know what I mean? And they hid, and he probably hid with them. But Sandy Hook, no black kids got killed there. Aurora, no black kids got killed there. And they were there. I know they were there. All you got to do is get online and look, and you can see. I did the research yesterday. We just stand around, you know, and we don't react, you know what I mean? It's strange. We're different. So this is a very strange situation here, okay? You got the Lord just shows up in front of them, okay? And he has to calm them down because apparently they were scared when he showed up. Look at verse 21. It says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. He had to calm them down again. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And now get this, this is a strange book. Here, and then he says this, and when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. Think about that. The Lord shows up, he's got to calm them down, they're all scared, and then he breathes on them. This is strange, is it not? This is a strange book, okay? I mean, think about that. He breathed on them and they got the Holy Ghost. Seriously? I mean, this is weird for us, isn't it? I mean, really, think, would you, if somebody just showed, I mean, seriously, if I came up to you, Glenn, and I put my hands on you, and then I went, what would you do? You'd probably pass out from halitosis or something. But I mean, think about that. You know, the charismatics, they claim all this stuff about the Holy Ghost. They are not going to claim this passage. They will claim the laying on of hands, amen, but you have never seen a charismatic get the Holy Ghost by somebody breathing on him. You will see him point and somebody will go into convulsions. You will see him lay hands. You will see them pray out and start rolling around on the floor. But you will never see a charismatic breathing on another charismatic. Amen? So if you come across one of these charismatics, breathe on him and see what he does. And tell him, hey, I just gave you the Holy Ghost. You didn't get it. You must not be saved. You must not have enough faith. Amen? So this is a very strange situation, okay? They'll claim the Holy Ghost by the laying on hands, but you are never going to see them get the Holy Ghost by being breathed on. Amen? Picture that revival. A breathing of the Holy Ghost revival. You know how they got their Holy Ghost laughter? You know, where they get to giggling and laughing and it's uncontrollable. Have you ever seen them do that? It's crazy. Look at it on YouTube. It's called Holy Ghost Laughter. These people get to laughing and they can't stop laughing, and they do this in church, amen? And they think it's of the Holy Ghost. All right? Just picture the revival of people breathing on each other and getting the Holy Ghost. This is a strange situation. So there's justification for the disciples of being a little freaked out. You know, there's justification for it. I mean, we don't see these sorts of things, okay? We're in a different age, amen? So we don't see these sorts of things. So you got to be careful asking for a sign, amen? You have to be careful because something like this could happen, you know? And then how are you going to react? When you do get the sign, how are you going to react? Are you going to freak out and be weirded out and be like, oh, I mean, some of these signs are weird in the Old Testament, man. You know, some of these signs are weird in the Old Testament. Okay? Look in, we're still in verse 22, verse 23, all right? So they receive the Holy Ghost by the Lord breathing on them. In verse 23 says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, that's a nice name, Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Hence doubting Thomas, all right? He needed to see something. He needed to see the Lord, okay? And they were probably like, this is weird, man. No, you don't. No, just believe us. We saw the Lord. You don't want this to happen to you, okay? So after 8 days, verse 26, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Same scenario, except Thomas is there this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you, because apparently they were probably startled again. All right? Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now there's a key phrase. Be not faithless, but believing. All right? So be careful wanting visual confirmation from God about things. Because the Lord says here to Thomas, who needed visual confirmation, to be not faithless, but believing. Amen? So the implication there is if you don't believe without seeing, that you could be faithless. All right? So if you want a blessing from God, believe without seeing. Amen? And 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now right there is where Thomas got it. Amen? That's where he believed that Jesus Christ was God. Great passage on the deity of Christ. In verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. All right, so the Lord says, hey, I'm standing here right in front of you, and you believe on me because you see me. But he says, but blessed are they who don't see me. All right, blessed are they. Who are they? That's us. We are blessed because we've believed without seeing Jesus Christ. There's something special to the Lord about that. Amen? Something that the disciples didn't have. You know, we sit here and we moan and groan and whine because, oh, I just wish, man, I wish I was there when Jesus was alive, when Jesus showed himself. I just wish I was there. You know, why? You have more of a blessing now because you believe on him without being there and without seeing him. Right here is where it's at, amen? This is where the blessing is, amen? All right? So be careful about seeking signs. Don't be seeking after signs, all right? You want to know who seeks after signs? Look at Matthew 12. These are the kind of people who seek after signs. Matthew 12, starting verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Pharisees seek after a sign. All right, so don't be seeking after signs, amen? There is a dangerous area, you're getting into a dangerous area looking for signs from God. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16. This is a dangerous area. Verse 1, who seeks after signs? The Pharisees do. Why is that bad? The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. They wanted a sign from God, from Jesus, and the Bible says that they were tempting God. The implication there is if you're asking God for a sign, you might be tempting him. It is and I've been there, but as sincere as it is, when you beg God for that confirmation, he already gave you a book. Amen? Right here's your confirmation. Right here's your sign. But we're going to refuse to read this, and we're going to go to him and say, show me something. He's going to be like, what do you mean? You've had it for 400 years. Amen? You've had it for 400 years. My spirit is in you. My spirit is in you, leading you into all truth. My spirit has mingled with your spirit, and you are spiritually circumcised. Is that not enough? And here you are tempting me, wanting me to knock a picture off the wall or help you win the lottery? Amen? You know? So be careful seeking after a sign. It can be tempting. Here's another guy seeking after a sign. Look in Luke 4. Here's another guy that likes to seek after signs. You want to be like him? Ask Jesus to show you a sign. Who's this guy? And he brought him to Jerusalem, verse 9, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall say, Bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, all right, he was looking for Jesus to give him signs. Right? And what did God say? Stop tempting me, you devil. Stop tempting me, you devil. All right? We have a book. We're blessed because we believe without seeing. Now back in 1 Peter, why are we blessed for believing without seeing? Back in 1 Peter, look at verse 9. Or we'll read, start in verse 8 and go into verse 9. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right here, this is why we're blessed for believing without seeing. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's our blessing. We are born again because we believe something that happened 2,000 years ago that we didn't see. And how are we blessed through that? We get the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Amen? Eternal security. That's what we have. All right? So believe without seeing. I know it's easier said than done, but believe without seeing. We have everything right here that we need to believe. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and this book. I just pray, Lord, now that it was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me. I just pray now, Lord, that you'd prepare our hearts to receive your words and bless our fellowship today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.